shall continue. I was told that I was neglected this area. I was walking around. So now this last few sessions I'll be here. Okay. So it's more fair. Okay. More fair. Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue the study. Now this time we are in 1 John. The book of 1 John. The Gospel of John we have studied already. And now, when John was in old age, he wrote this book. So once again, if Apostle John is the son of Zebedee, the timing of this book is quite late. It's around 85 to 95. Because we know among the 12 disciples that John, he lived the longest. He is the only disciples that didn't die a martyr death. He is the only one to die a natural death. But that doesn't mean he is the luckiest. Sometimes, the longer you live, the longer you suffer. And he has to suffer the loneliness and see all of his contemporary die gruesomely under the persecution. But God has a plan for him. He has to live longer so that he can give more teachings. And of course, at the end, he will have to finish the book of Revelation that we are going to study. What is the reason of writing this book? Because this is not a personal letter. This is not only a letter to a certain church. It's supposed to be a letter to circulate everywhere. So the purpose of the letter is to correct some false teaching in the church. Is to point out some wrong thinking and philosophy already affecting the church. And of course, the gospel that he wrote, he thought that is not enough. He had to go deeper. And another reminder of correcting the false teaching. I think we mentioned a little bit about one of the major false teaching is called Gnosticism. Gnostic means knowledge. During the end of the first century, this philosophical thinking already eroding the church. As we said, people believe in Gnosticism actually can have two extreme behavior. Because the Gnostic thinking tell your body is evil. So whatever you do, your body is no good. So you have to be out of your body and rely on special secret knowledge. So because of this thinking, they deny Jesus. We know that Jesus has two nature, dual nature when he was on earth. One is divinity, 神性, one is humanity. Which book in the gospel emphasizes Jesus' humanity? Once again, the gospel of Luke. Jesus is the Son of Man. Which book in the fourth gospel emphasizes Jesus' divinity?
John.
But Gnosticism actually denied Jesus both. He said you don't even need Jesus. You don't even need this kind of gospel to be saved. You need knowledge. So develop two thinking. One is you live a very evil life. We call it licentiousness. LICENTIOUS. Licentious life. This means sexual immoral life. Immoral life. This kind of thinking will tell you, you can do whatever you want with your body. Because your body will not affect your soul. It's different. Right? You commit adultery, you drink alcohol. It doesn't matter. Because physical is physical. Spiritual is spiritual. It doesn't matter, it doesn't hurt you. So you can do whatever you want and won't affect your salvation. That's a wrong teaching, of course. And the other hand, another extreme is to tell you to don't do anything, right? Asceticism. Ascetic form. 苦修主义, This means you have to lock yourself in the monastery, you eat only vegetables, you don't get married, you try to be holy by doing all that. So this philosophical thinking actually affects the church quite a lot. So John decided it is time to once again, when he's old age, to introduce again what is Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. So let's read John 1, verse 1. Okay, the theme first. The theme of the book is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is the theme. And the theme is in verse chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Next. Underline this verse, this is very important. Not only is the key verse in this book, but for our faith. Here tell us there are two kinds of fellowship. Fellowship, once again, means sharing. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia. Which means fellowship. Literally means sharing. So what kind of sharing that we need to have? If you read verse 3, it tells us there are two kinds of sharing which really demonstrate very well by the cross. The first fellowship is between God and us. We have fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Another kind of fellowship we need to have is with brother and sister. When you believe in God, when you're under the salvation, this is the two main area of fellowship. If you come to the church, you only want to make friends, you only want to talk to people, your faith will not last. In my local church, I saw some youth. Every Sabbath they come to church, but they come late, they don't like to pray. When they come, they go downstairs to the basement, they have tea and drink tea, talking to other youth, and they go home. They don't like to pray, they don't like to listen to sermon, they don't go to NYTS or YTTC. Even though they come to church every week, but they don't have fellowship with God. If you come to church, your life, fellowship is the fellowship of life. If your life is not connected to God, you will not experience His grace and blessing in your life. Coming to church is just like a social gathering. So how can we have fellowship with God? In the book of 1 John, talk about you have to really obey the truth. You have to follow the truth, listen to the truth, and understand the truth. And of course, you have to through prayer. Prayer in the spirit. You pray to God, you have good fellowship with brother and sister. And on horizontally, how can we have fellowship with brother and sister? We use the love that God gives us. Care for each other. So if you understand this diagram, the fellowship, you understand the book of 1 John. Why we need to have fellowship? The answer is in chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Next. the one verse 4, the reason we want to have fellowship, first with God, and secondly with brother and sister, is only fellowship can bring you joy. When you go camping, you're happy, yes, fun for a few days, but will not be lasting. If you go shopping mall, the same thing. If you play video game at home, you feel exciting during you play it, but after you play it, you feel empty. But only when you have fellowship with God, the joy is so much. In USA, the NYTS. I remember the first time I go to NYTS, 1993. It's not that I wanted to go. I never been to NYTS before. There was one day my mother asked me, hey, there was NYTS in California, do you want to go? I said, what is NYTS? Well, I said, NYTS, well, it'll be just a Bible seminar. You stay there 2 weeks, study Bible. I said, no, it sounds doesn't sound fun at all. But my mom really knew how to encourage me. She said, okay, let's make a deal. You go to NYTS 2 weeks, we go together. At that time, even adults cannot go to NYTS, right? We go together 2 weeks, and afterwards, I'll bring you to Disney, Universal Studio, and visit San Francisco. Wow, I think that sounds better. But in order to go to visit LA as a tourist, I have to endure 2 weeks of NYTS. I said, okay, then in this way, I'll go. But just my mind was thinking about Universal Studio and Disneyland and all that places, because I've never been to those places. I was 18 years old, like an age, I really wanted to go to US. At that time, I was a boy living in somewhere in Canada, in the middle of nowhere, a small town. So, I went to MITS. The first day, I really didn't like it. Wow, so many people around, and they sleep on the ground. And then, way stricter than here. You know, I still remember this one preacher. Wow, his eyes staring everyone walking around. If you are picking too much food, he'll just look at you like that. Wow, why do you pick so much food? Wow, you cannot finish it, don't take it, right? And then it's so stern. So at the beginning, I really didn't like it. And the prayer is so long. But after a while, after a few days, I really started to enjoy it. Because the sermon by the preachers, really powerful, really struck my mind. And the hymn that we sing together really touched me. I never sang hymn with such a big group before. And also, the prayer. You know, in Theo, we emphasize prayer. Pray in the morning, afternoon, fasting, and evening, and then even before sleep, group prayer. So the prayer really touched me, and I started to cry in prayer. And then I started to have so much joy. And after the 2 weeks, I was so happy. I didn't even want to leave the church. My heart was not thinking about Disneyland anymore. I was thinking, next year I must come back if I have a chance. I tell myself, I must complete the 3 years. I really thank God that God guided me, finished the NYTS. And I was not even satisfied. I was thinking, I cannot go to US anymore, but Taiwan, there's an NYTS. And I should go to Taiwan. So I also went to Taiwan NYTS, 96, 97, 98. And there where I met my future wife. But of course, there's not the main point. There's not a reason you go there, okay. But sometimes things just happen, okay. You met someone, God prepared for you. This kind of youth activity. So, the joy is when you are very close to God, you feel the joy. That joy, the world cannot bring. The world cannot replace. So, John said, the fellowship that we have will make you complete in joy. And how did John describe this word? Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1. He tells us, this word is the word of life. The word, actually, we're mentioning is Gospel of John, right? In the beginning, what? Was the Word. The Word was God, but with God, and the Word was God. The Word came down, became flesh, which is Jesus. Which verse is it again? John? All these very key words you have to memorize, huh? But this Word is called a Word of Life. It can bring life to you and change life. Now, here mentioned about three things. First, you have heard about it. Secondly, you have seen it. Thirdly, you can touch it. This is the word of life. It's so special. First, you hear from someone. You heard testimony. You hear that, somebody received grace from God so much. That's why you hear and you come to believe. But afterwards, you've seen it. You see God's grace. You see other people receive God's grace. You see something happen in the church. You see someone change. You see the miracle performed by Lord Jesus. But at the end, you must touch it yourself. In your faith, you must strive to touch God or touch by God. If your faith has not touched God, your faith is still not solid. You must ask God to give you the experience that I can experience you and touch you. Even though we don't touch God physically, but in our hearts, we must ask God that, God, please, let me meet you. Let me meet you personally. Let me be very sure that you are with me. Let you increase my faith by touching you. Of course, touching you means many things. You can be touched by God in prayer. You may have encountered certain things that God heard your prayer. You may have seen a miracle on yourself, how God changed your life. So this word of life, you've heard it, you've seen it, you've touched it. Then you shouldn't be going back to all those philosophy, all those useless narcissism. So, be very quick. We just see how we can build a good fellowship with God, right? We talk about this vertical relationship, how we can build up this relationship with God. First, we must repent our sin. Chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 9. So the first way we can build up relationship with God, have fellowship with God, is when you come to God, you must first admit your sin. Just like when we kneel down to pray, if we don't reveal ourselves, if we don't think about our past year, what happened to your past year? Sometimes we look back at our life. The things that we did is not that very glorifying God. Sometimes we say something in secret, or sometimes we do something online. We met someone. We didn't do the things that really please God. And that sin become a wall, try to stop us from God. So if you want to build a relationship with God, we have to repent our sin. God, please, I'm sorry. I did that. I didn't mean to, but I did that. I was weak. But please help me. So this is the first way to build fellowship with God. Secondly, after you repent, you must stop sinning. Stop sinning. Chapter 2, verse 1. Repenting is not enough. You must make the determination, after I go back, I'll not do the same thing again. Otherwise, if you... Bless you. Otherwise, if you keep doing the same thing again, how can you build fellowship with God? So stop sinning. Go back. Live a new life. Thirdly, we must practice the teaching. Chapter 2, verse 6. Walk as Lord Jesus do, right? Walk the way that Jesus wants us to walk. Ask yourself, if you want to build fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ, not just coming to YTTC for 3 weeks, this is not the key point. If you come here for 3 weeks, go back, put down your notes, put down your Bible, live your old lifestyle. you are not going to change anything. You are not going to bring yourself any good. The key point is you must walk as Jesus wants you to walk. You must change your lifestyle. So that is the key point. That's why so many people come in the end, they say, okay, come in the YTTC. Once a year, I come to recharge the battery. The battery. I need a battery recharge and go back to discharge. And after 11 months, come back to recharge. If you do this, your battery will die very soon. Even computer, even a cell phone, you cannot let your battery go until 0% charging all the time. Otherwise, battery die. Spiritually, the same thing. You cannot just rely on YTTC. Every single day, you must connect to God and walk in His way. Fourthly, how can we have a relationship with God? We must remove the hatred in our heart. Remove the hatred. Chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. If you hate your brother, you are still in darkness. If you harvest hate in your brother, even though every Sabbath you come to the church, for example, there's someone in church that you don't like, right? What should you do? Maybe sometimes you see him in the church because he says something to you and he offended you. Okay, he's this way. Okay, I'll go the other way. I don't want to talk to him. Because in my heart, I don't like him or her. Right? You don't get along. In your heart, you hate someone. If you hate someone, no matter it's in a church or outside church, you do not have a good fellowship with God. Because God is love. In 1 John, it reminds us very clearly that God is love and we should remove our hate. Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 8. God is love. John emphasized one point. God is love. That's why if you don't have love, you cannot have fellowship with God. So God is love. And God is light. 2L, right? God is light. That means if you keep sinning, you cannot have fellowship with God. And God is love. If you hate someone, you cannot have fellowship with God. So this is what John emphasized. Also, if you want to have fellowship with God, you should receive water baptism. Chapter 5, verse 6 to 9. 6 to 9. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 to 9. So I believe that in basic doctrine class, preacher Johnny explained to you this verse, right? Have he? Talk about water baptism? Not yet? Okay, I'm sure he'll explain this verse. This few verse is talking about the mystery of water baptism. The mystery of water baptism. Why water baptism can remove sin? It's because Holy Spirit is working. So in water baptism, Holy Spirit works. Jesus' blood is there. Your sins wash away and you build up the fellowship with God. You can, from now, you can share God's life and God's grace can come down to you. It's a two-way communication. You can share a problem to God, you can call to Him and His blessing will come down. So this is fellowship with God through water baptism. That's why if you are not baptized yet, even though you come to church 10 years, doesn't matter, you are still an unbeliever. Some truth seeker, they come to church for 30 or 40 years. They never want to get baptized. If they are not baptized, even you come to church, even they help out kitchen, do church work, doesn't matter. They are not member. They are not one of us. you have to get baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. And another point, how can we have fellowship with God? Through His Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24. Next. Yes, it's by the Spirit. How do we know that God lives in us? Through the Spirit He has given. Through the Spirit. How do you know TJC is the only true church? Because of the Holy Spirit given. Not because we are better than other people, not because our behavior is better than other people, but because Holy Spirit is given to us. So this is the fellowship given to God by us. So after learning all this, you will know. Imagine yourself, you are the first century Christian. After understanding the importance of the fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ, you will refuse the teaching of Gnosticism. Oh, we're talking about sinning doesn't matter, right? Sinning does matter. You have to keep holiness if you want to connect with God. And of course, you don't have to go to the other extreme, asceticism. You can live a normal life, brother and sister, fellowship. That is very important. So this is pretty much about the main point of the book of 1 John. And concluding it, you can read the last chapter of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Underline this verse, very important. Talks about the spiritual realm. First of all, you don't see devil, but he is everywhere. Devil is everywhere. Wherever there are space, devil is there. Physical space or spiritual space. Devil can enter your heart if you are not careful. Devil is everywhere. So we have to be very careful. When you are at home, if you open your computer, devil is there waiting for you to click the wrong button. Click into the site that you are not supposed to visit. When you go to school, devil is there. Through your friends, tempt you to do the things that God doesn't want you to do. So the whole world is under the hands of the devil. So what does it mean? If you are not having fellowship with God, then you are under the radar. You are under the target of devil. If you do not have koinonia with Jesus, then you may want to have fellowship with devil. Devil will invite you to have fellowship with them. When your friend asks you out for drinking, for party, they're asking you fellowship with devil, right? When you're about to see a dirty movie, devil is trying to ask you a fellowship with me. I want to enter your heart. When you are deceived by the wrong teaching, if someone tries to tell you about something not the same as the basic doctrine, try to ask for your support, try to convince your mind, devil is asking for fellowship with you. So we must say no to the fellowship of devil. But we must say yes to the fellowship of Jesus. This is a very good application. You're always making a choice, and you cannot escape this choice. You have to take side, whether you're fellowship of God or fellowship of devil. You're fellowship of God, what is the result of fellowship of God? Bianca, remember? The result of fellowship of God, what is it? Three words. What am I writing? Where does it say? Chapter 1, verse 4. If you have fellowship with Jesus, you always have joy. If you fellowship with devil, you always have pain. sadness and emptiness. You feel empty. You feel void after you commit a sin. You feel guilt, right? You feel guilty because the devil will want to. Just like how Judas, after he saw Jesus, what happened? He feel the immense guilt in his heart. The money that he sold Jesus for is never interest anymore. There was only a bait that devil used to hook him up. But after he saw Jesus, the money doesn't mean anything to him. He just was consumed by guilt, and then he killed himself. So that's why we must refuse the fellowship of the devil. And then verse 21, read again verse 21. Okay, sorry, verse 20. Let's read verse 20. Okay, underline this verse. This really explains the name of our church too, right? There's a few words which can explain the name of TJC. But this word is also a very good explanation. He tells us, how does John describe Lord Jesus? He is what? He is the true one. Why John emphasized Jesus is the true one? Because there were many false ones out there, right? So, there were false philosophy, false religion, false God. So, John emphasized, Jesus, he is the true one. And you have to believe him and him alone. Not believe in anything else. So, he is the true one and we are in this true one. We are in Lord Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the true one. And of course, we are the church, right? Jesus is the true one. Even Jesus himself in John talks about he is the true one. Where is he? Where did he say? He said, I am the true vine. Where is it? John 15, right? John 15. Verse 1. John 15, verse 1. Somebody read, next. Yeah, Jesus is the true vine. Now let's turn back to 1 John, chapter 5, verse 21. John said, Jesus is the true one. Let's read again, read chapter 5, verse 20. Okay, going back to the front again. Okay. No? Rachel, please. Rachel, please read chapter 5, verse 20. First John. 20. First John 5, 20. The Son, who is the true God. So this true also means true God. And the name of the true God is Jesus. And this is under the doctrine of one true God, right? The name of this true God was revealed in New Testament is Jesus. This verse tells us this. Chapter 5 verse 20. So this is about the doctrine about the one true God. True means true vine, true God. The name of the true God is Jesus. 1 John 5:20. And we are the church and we are in him. Do you see this name? The true cheer church, the name is really perfect. Perfectly fit the Bible. Does this verse tell you a lot? So this is about the book of 1 John. Any question? And the last verse of the book tell you what? Last book. Keep yourself from idols. If you want to have fellowship with God, and you must remove the idols. Sometimes there are so much idols in between us and God, right? American idols, no. Pop singing, movie, schoolwork, even sports, anything can replace God in your heart can be your idol. So if you want to build relationship with God, the last point, add it. The last point is, remove idols in your life. Remove the idols in your life. So first John is very important. All the points could be in your text, right? How to build relationship. How to build fellowship with God. You have to be able to answer. How to build fellowship with God through the book of First John. So many points I've mentioned. You should know how to build relationship with God. Okay. Second John. The theme of the book is love is to practice the truth. Love is to practice the truth. The book was addressed to the wife, the chosen wife, and his children. Chapter 2, there's only one chapter. 2 John, verse 1. Next. Love is to practice the truth. There are so many definitions of love. As we said, some people say love is candlelight dinner, love is diamond ring. But no, the true love is you practice the truth. The key verse is on verse 4. Verse 4, huh? So the key verse in chapter 1, verse 4. And the letter was addressed to the ladies and the children, which is figuratively speaking, is the church. So the ladies or the wife are referring to the church. Because church are supposed to be the bride of Lord Jesus Christ. So the church and its children, this means members. So a lot of contents were repeating 1 John. Emphasizing love, emphasizing the truth. We can divide the paragraph into the chapter into three parts. First, verse 1 to 3 talk about understanding the truth. The second session, verse 4 to 6. To practice the truth. The third session is verse 7 to 13, is to uphold the truth. So every one of us have to go through this process of learning the truth, to understand it, and then practice it in your daily life. But you have to uphold it. Why? Because at that time, there are some preachers or evangelist go around to preach another gospel. At the beginning, they don't know they are preaching the wrong thing, and they receive them into their house. But John said they are going around not to preach the true gospel. If you receive them, you have committed their sin. You have a part of their sin. Verse 9 to 10. Please read. 9 to 11. Next. Verse 9 to 11. So if you receive someone who preached the wrong gospel, you are joining his sin. So receiving doesn't only mean just open the door and let him come in, right? But including provide accommodation, providing food. Because you help him physically, this means you help him to preach the wrong gospel. So you shouldn't say, if I refuse him, I have no love, right? You shouldn't say this. Love is to practice the truth. For example, if someone, let's say one day you are in your house, one Jehovah's Witness or Mormons, they knock on the door, they say, oh, can I come in to talk to you? Ding dong, can I come to talk to you? What do you say? Say, no, sorry, I'm not allowed. I will not open the door for you, right? I'm Christian already. If you want to talk about the truth, come to my church. But you will not enter my house. Because they are not preaching. Even they don't believe Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Divinity. Other churches, denominations, even though their doctrine is a little bit different than us, but at least they believe Jesus is the Son of God, is divinity. But Mormon and Jehovah's Witness, they deny about that. So it shouldn't even be open door for them. Okay. And if in the future, some church worker, they are deviated from the truth, they preach the wrong doctrine. You know him very well in the past, they treat you very nice, you have very good personal relationship. But if he come to you and say, hey brother, can you help me? The church do not support me preaching anymore. Can you personally sponsor me or finance me? You don't put money into your offering box, but you give your tithe to me so I can go somewhere to preach. Can you do this? If somebody asks you to do this, it tells you first, he is already a worker go astray. A worker, write it down, huh? Can never ask you to support him against the GA or the organization. A worker can never ask you to give money to him or her to spend personally, even to do church work, even he claimed to be doing church work. He's not supposed to do this. If he does that, you must report to the church. If he comes to solicit things from you, you must report to the church. Right? This is not something right. Everything has to go through the organization. Should not go through private fundraising. And if you're teaching the wrong gospel, ask you to help him or her, you should shun and refuse him directly. I have nothing to do with what you're doing right now. You should repent and turn back to God. Turn back to the church. So this is very important. So this is about 2 John. Let's pray in silence.